Father, I want to thank you for Andrew. Thank you for Andrew this morning. Thank you that he and the family have been able to have a good week away. But thank you that through that time they have prayed and sought you. And thank you for the word you've given him now. I pray that you help him to speak it as you want it spoken. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Val. Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all, and great to have everybody joining us online this morning for our Pentecost service, which is really exciting. I don't know if you do you get excited when you hear that reading? Yeah, if you've been hearing it for years, but you just get excited every time. You just imagine yourself there, don't you? And the Holy Spirit coming, it's just awesome, and it's just amazing. Well, I have a question as I start off this morning for everyone. I wonder if you can think of somebody. If you were given the chance to ask somebody well-known in history or even well-known today, you could ask them one question. Can you think of somebody, someone who intrigues you, somebody you'd like to meet? Can you imagine someone like that? Yeah? And then think of one question you might like to ask them. Well. Ah, here he is. Okay, the PowerPoint is working. In 2007, at my ordination retreat, just for those who don't know much about how people become vicars, before you do a curacy, like a titled parish, you go away on a retreat for a few days with all the other ordinands before you go to the cathedral and are ordained. And on the retreat that I was on, I had a meeting with the then Bishop of Rochester, Michael Nazir Ali. Now, Bishop Michael was well known for some of his strong views, but also for his deep academic gifts. And on my journey to the Diocese of Rochester, because I came from north of the river, which you hear from time to time as I made my way to Rochester, I heard from various sources that Bishop Michael had sometimes paid a heavy price for his stance and his views and his opinions. So I thought to myself, what question, if I'm going to meet this quite, well-known bishop, what question can I ask him? So my moment came with this meeting with the bishop who was going to ordain me the next day. And I thought, what question am I going to ask him? And we came to the point where Bishop Michael said to me, "Do you have any questions?" And I said, "Yeah, I've got a question. What is the question that no one ever asks you, but you really wish they did? What is the question no one ever asks you, but you wish they would?" And so he sat there for a moment and he thought, and he said, "No one ever asks me how I do what I do." Bishop Michael was saying no one ever asks him how he carried out his role as bishop, where his strength came from. I thought for a moment and I said to him, "I can only assume that you are saying you can only do what you do because you are by the power of the Holy Spirit." And he said, "Yes." On Friday, the Archbishop of York, Stephen Cottrell, said in his address at the Platinum Jubilee service that it was the faith that the Queen had in Jesus Christ that had carried her over the years. Not only has our Queen been empowered by the Holy Spirit, our Queen Elizabeth has shown the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Our Queen Elizabeth has shown all these qualities and more. And I doubt that she would herself take any credit, and she would give all the thanks to God for his work in her life. In our reading this morning, we see God at work in an extraordinary way. The day is Pentecost. the first Jewish harvest festival of the year, and a time when devout Jews from all over the Mediterranean area would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate. It's also 50 days since Jesus rose from the dead, and 10 days since Jesus ascended to be with God the Father in heaven. The disciples have been told to meet in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised he would send. The disciples probably had no idea how the Holy Spirit would come and how this moment would change their lives forever. We read that on the day of Pentecost, the disciples are all together in one place, and they hear a sound like the blowing of a violent wind from heaven that fills the whole house where they are all sitting. Then they see what looked like tongues of fire resting on each other. It is thought that the tongues signify speech, human speech, and the speech of God, and the fire, the holiness and the presence of God coming down on the disciples. We then hear that they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit enables them. The tongues spoken of here are different from the gift of tongues we hear about later in the New Testament. On this occasion, the disciples are supernaturally able to speak the different languages representing all the nations that the pilgrim Jews have come from in Jerusalem. Some of the pilgrim Jews could see these disciples from the north of Israel, mostly uneducated men speaking in languages they could never normally speak in. They were so astounded that they thought the disciples had been drinking wine. The visiting Jews thought to themselves, what could all of this mean? We then hear that Peter stands up and addresses the crowd, and he says, these people are not drunk. It is only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel hundreds of years previously when he said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This was an extraordinary prophecy for God's people, that one day he would pour out his Holy Spirit on all people, not just Jews, and that their sons and daughters would be able to hear directly from God, and that their young men would see visions, and that their old men would have dreams inspired by God himself. We need to remember that the Holy Spirit had only been given to special people at specific times in the history of Israel. The Holy Spirit had been reserved for the special, or you could say, the elite. But God had promised through the prophet Joel that one day there would be no spiritual elite, and that the same Spirit would be available to everyone, or anyone who wanted to believe in Jesus, that Jesus was Lord and that he had been risen from the dead. Right before their very eyes of the visiting Jews in Jerusalem, they are able to see the outworking of this prophecy, and we still see the outworking of this prophecy today. God is still pouring out his Holy Spirit on those who turn to Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Christians, for the past 2,000 years have been able to prophesy, see visions, and have dreams. Very few of us here today would be serving God the way we do if we had not had a vision, dream, or prophetic word to encourage us to step out of our comfort zone and serve the Lord. I very much doubt I would be standing here today if I had not received prophetic words from various people before I put myself forward for ordination training. Only the Holy Spirit can accomplish these things. Amen.
Amen.
God is good?
All the time.
All the time?
God is good.
Hallelujah. At the APCM a few weeks ago, I shared a bit about the dreams, values, and vision process that we've been going through this year. Hopefully, you will remember that in January, we asked members of Pip and Jim's to pray and ask the Lord to speak to them in dreams of the night and to write down their dreams and put them in a pot that we put here on the communion table. A number of members did this, and others offered their own personal dreams for our collective mission and ministry here at Pip and Jim's. Over this time, I invited a number of leaders who hopefully represented nearly every area in the life of our church to join a team who would review and refresh our values, vision, and strategy for the next 3 to 5 years. Over the weeks and months, the team met first to review our values, and then we looked at the dreams to see what themes and patterns could help us shape a new vision for Pip and Jim's. We still have a bit of work to do to finalise the strategy and work out what our priorities should be as a PCC, and we will be having a morning away as a PCC on the 9th of July to work on this. A few weeks ago, I asked the team if they thought that God had spoken to us through the dreams process. And one of the team said, would they still be turning up week after week if they didn't think the Holy Spirit had been speaking to us? So, the promises spoken of by Joel about the Holy Spirit that were poured out on the disciples on the day of Pentecost are still relevant and available to us today. We just need to step out and receive the gift that God wants to give to each and every one of us here, today, tomorrow, and until Jesus returns. Over the weeks and months as a team, we have been thinking, how can we have a simple way of remembering our new vision? And we've come up with three words, and they are encounter, grow, and go. So that means encountering God, growing in faith in Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and to go with the good news. Now, in our reading today, we can see all three of these things happening. The disciples encounter God in the most profound way. The Holy Spirit came upon them with tongues of fire. The Holy Spirit wanted to say, I am, not just for the Jews in Jerusalem. I am for all people. I want to use my people to take this message about Jesus to the whole world. Without doubt, many of the devout pilgrim Jews saw what was going on and encountered God in a new way. They came to faith and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, as we hear later in the chapter that 3,000 were added to their number that day. Today, billions of Christians around the world encounter God because of the work of the Holy Spirit. We encounter God through worship, the Bible, prayer, words and pictures, healing and prophecy. We here in this church today and those who join us online can encounter God through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, as we will be praying later and asking for the Holy Spirit to come. Secondly, the disciples and the new converts grew in their faith in Jesus and in the Holy Spirit that day. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he promised that he would send them power from on high, and that they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus told the disciples to gather together and to wait in Jerusalem. They needed to trust and obey their Lord. They needed to carry on growing in their faith in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes, they are filled, they are anointed, and they speak in other tongues. One of the disciples, Peter, who only weeks before has denied Jesus, stands up and helps everyone to understand from the Hebrew scriptures what was going on. We grow in faith when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws us to faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps us understand the Bible and the mysteries of our faith. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray, and some are given a special prayer language called tongues. The Holy Spirit empowers us for the life and journey of a disciple. On that Pentecost day, they all grow in faith in Jesus and the Spirit. Thirdly, they go with the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. On that Pentecost day, we hear that 3,000 people were added to their number. Many of those who responded to the message of salvation would have come from the many Jewish communities around the Mediterranean area, from Rome, from modern-day Greece and Turkey, from Egypt and Libya. That is how a number of Christian communities would have been established by Jews returning home and telling their fellow brothers and sisters about the things that they had heard and experienced on Pentecost in Jerusalem. Those early believers would have faced great opposition to their message, and the only way they could persevere was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The same for us. If we are to go with the good news of faith in Jesus, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, just like the first believers at Pentecost. Being a follower of Jesus is not easy, but Jesus gives us joy in our hearts, and he gives us life in all its fullness. But being obedient and following his call cannot be done in our own human strength. We need the power of God, the Holy Spirit. So if we are to be a church that encounters God, grows in faith in Jesus and the Spirit, and goes out with the good news, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Shall we stand? Let's stand together.